Hi. Hi. Hello. Just testing the microphone. Hope you all can hear me. Hi, Elijah. Hi, Busayo. I see you. Elijah Baba. Welcome to this health and wellness series. Health and wellness series. We're about to host the amazing fulfilled pharmacist Lisa King. It's such an honor. I'll soon be inviting her to come on board. But good to see everyone. Good to see you all. Health and wellness series. Okay, about to just give me a second. Let me share this. Hi.
Hi, Kenneth. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's such an honor to host you this afternoon or morning over there.
Yes.
Thank you for agreeing to do this. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh,
Thank
no,
you.
I love connecting with other pharmacists, so it's an honor to be here. I will
Amazing.
say I'm expecting somebody at my door. I told them to just come in. I have my little dog here. And
Oh.
she may bark
So
when they come.
cute.
I'm trying to hold her so that she doesn't do that, but yes.
It's fine. Thank you once again for agreeing to do this. So welcome everyone. This is the Health and Wellness series, and today we are going to be hosting the amazing pharmacist Lisa King, and she's going to be taking us through the different steps to maximizing our health. And I would just like her to just tell us a bit about herself. And so, Pharmacist Lisa King, you have the floor. Just tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, thank you. I've been a pharmacist for 34 years now, so I just love sharing about health and wellness, whether I'm in the pharmacy or outside the pharmacy. I spent about 25 years in retail pharmacy. I just love interacting with patients. So for me, I just always knew that I wanted to go into retail. I thought I was going to be retiring, but now I have a very interesting position. I feel just blessed that I'm able to continue to work in the pharmacy field. So what I am doing now is I'm working at a closed door pharmacy that specializes in medical foods for patients with genetic metabolic disorders. So it's very different than what I've done in the past, but I'm loving that I'm still able to practice and enjoy practicing as a pharmacist.
Wow, sounds amazing. How has that been so far?
Well, it was a little different getting used to at first because I was so used to with the one-on-one interaction, and I love talking to people. So even at the pharmacy, my pharmacy manager would say, "How do you know this about people?" Like they would just, I don't know, I have that kind of face, I think, where people like to share things. So I knew about like their new grandbabies, their vacations. I knew everything about my patients. So it was a little different going to more of a closed door setting with just more of an office type setting, but I'm really enjoying it at this time of my career, because honestly, 12-hour days are long days working retail. So I'm enjoying it.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. Okay, so let's just jump right into it. So I'd like you to, how do you define health and how can we maximize our health? So I think that would be the first question. How do you actually see health and how do you think we can maximize our health?
Well, I honestly believe in, you know, tiny changes lead to big results and better health. So for me, being healthy just means feeling your confident self, preventing disease. And so I just really feel that even just a tiny step, whether that be, you know, walking a bit more or having extra water, whatever it is, it just makes you feel good about yourself. It gives you that confidence that you're making healthy choices, and then you just keep going on and you can build on that. And from there, it just gives you that confidence, I really feel like, to go on and just accomplish other goals and dreams when you're living a healthy lifestyle. And I know it can be very overwhelming. That's why I'm all about tiny changes that lead to big results, one step at a time.
I know you're big on natural approaches to health. Can you just delve into that a bit?
Yes, absolutely. I'm all about disease prevention. So, you know, especially because when I was first a pharmacist, and I think even now there's so much to learn in pharmacy school. We are learning so much about medications. And I would even see it with my own patients. They really just want that quick fix. Give me the one tablet. I know this. Even I worked with a lot of elderly patients at my last store, and there's a certain product that helps with cognitive decline, and we didn't carry it. So they would always come in and ask for it. And I would say, we don't have it, but you can do this. You can reduce sugar in your diet and, you know, all these different things. And they'd say like, oh no, I'm just going to go somewhere else and find it. So I really think that, you know, the saying there's a pill for every ill, that really was how I was trained, you know, and I really didn't start learning more about this until I started delving into this for myself. My mom and my sister are both breast cancer survivors, and so I wanted to do whatever I could to prevent disease, and I just started learning more and more. And last year I studied herbalism, and honestly, with herbalism, I feel that it's like pharmacy. I could study for years. I feel like I learned just the tip of the iceberg. But really, even with herbalism, it's about bringing balance into your body, just having the body naturally heal itself, naturally prevent disease. And that's what I'm all about now, whether that be reducing sugar in the diet, you know, the benefits of a 12-hour fast, not eating after dinner to prevent cognitive decline, gut health. That's what it's really all about for me, preventing disease so that you don't have to take those tablets in the future.
Yeah. So I always get a lot of people coming to the pharmacy and they want a particular pill for this. They want different pills for different things. And sometimes you just try to counsel them, oh, do more exercises, avoid a lot of carbs in your diet and all that stuff. But a lot of them just want the magic pill, like you said, the magic pill. And but how important is it for humans to actually engage more in natural remedies and all?
Well, I think just, you know, get to know your body. And you know, there's, as I said, there's just so much information out there. But honestly, for me, as a starting point, I really feel reducing sugar in the diet is so key to prevent so many different disease states, whether that be heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, cancer. So for me, that's just really one of the big things that I always seem to be talking about. And I started just reading labels. So I was not always someone who reduced sugar in my diet or had a low sugar diet. But when my mother-in-law was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, that really struck a chord for me, even more so than my mom and my sister's breast cancer diagnosis. And so I knew that I had to start reducing sugar in my diet. What I always like to really recommend as a starting point, because this is a very generous number, is 25 grams of sugar for women and 37.5 grams for men. That's the American Heart Association recommendation. And honestly, if you just start looking at labels and reading sugar content, your body will just naturally start not wanting as much sugar. So I just tried to stick to that 25 grams and my body just naturally reduced from there. So choose one thing, whether that be sugar reduction, walking more movement, and just take it one step at a time and just keep implementing more and more things into your routine that can help prevent disease in the future.
Amazing. You talked about reducing sugar. Are there practical ways we can do that? Do we literally have to count the number of spoons of sugar we put in our tea? How do we do that?
Well, for me, one of the biggest things, as I said, was reading labels. So, you know, some things are really high in sugar that most people don't realize. They're so-called health foods. Mm-hmm. Things like yogurt, granola, protein bars. So what I would do is always just take two different things and compare which had the lower amount of sugar and then go with that one. And you don't want to do things that are sugar-free because that will have a lot of sugar alcohol in it. And any sugar alcohol will end in OL, like erythritol, things like that. And those can really upset your stomach. But just go for things that are lower in sugar and your body will start reducing that sugar. Stay hydrated. You know, a lot of times with hydration, you start craving different things. And then also just eat plenty of fruits and vegetables. Those are what we call nature's candy. When you're having, I mean, I love blueberries. They're so good for cognition. And to me, that's my little sweet treat. I'll do like blueberries with a little coconut cream on top. And to me, that's better than having a piece of cake or something like that. So your body will just naturally stop craving that sugar just when you just start becoming more and more aware of that.
Yeah, true. So would you say that for us to actually reduce sugar, we can add more fruits? Can we use more fruits?
Well, there are some fruits that are higher in sugar than others, and so there's a big debate on that too. But berries are very low in sugar, so berries are really fantastic. I know a lot of people talk about bananas because their bananas are higher in sugar, but a lot of people will have, you know, half a banana with a little bit of a nut butter on it just to get that protein too. Dried fruits are a little bit higher in sugar, but fruits, vegetables, just really a great way to get that natural energy and nutrients that your body is craving instead of that sweet treat. The other thing for me is that's another whole different topic. I stopped eating after dinner, which was another way to help prevent cognitive decline. And I would be what I would call a nighttime nibbler. So I would literally get off a 12-hour shift and I would have a bowl of ice cream when I got home. So I was not always someone who loved the sugar content. So, but yeah, just really having that why for me, you know, really knowing like, okay, I don't want to be a burden to my family. I see how Alzheimer's has affected our entire family. So for me, just really wanting to stay healthier, just really that strong why was helpful for me to continue with my reducing sugar and not eating after dinner and that type of thing.
That's so instructive. You mentioned vegetables. Are there particular vegetables you would recommend or just vegetables in general?
I just love vegetables. I mean, because especially, you know, vegetables have a lot of fiber in them. And so they're really good for gut health. And I know we're going to be talking about that as well.
Yeah.
So I always say fiber is a sponge for toxins. So, I mean, gut health is just so important. It's another really key piece for disease prevention. It helps with immunity. It helps boost mood. For women, it really helps with circulating estrogen, excess circulating estrogen to help remove that through the GI tract so that you don't get that estrogen dominance. You also have, you know, less symptoms of autoimmune disease when you have a healthier gut. So all, you know, vegetables, there are some that are what they call prebiotics, things like leeks, onions, things like that can really be helpful. But really just to keep that gut moving for detoxification so that you don't have that unhealthy gut that can lead to different autoimmune disease or estrogen dominance or whatever that may be.
Okay. I think this will just lead us to the next topic, the gut. Just talk more about the gut, because a lot of people do not know about the gut and mm-hmm. its importance in humans and what it actually does. So just enlighten us.
Yes, I mean, as I said before, it really is just a detox pathway, and it's just so important to remove those toxins from the body. I mean, some people will say for proper detoxification, you should be eliminating, you know, twice a day. In herbalism, they actually say after every meal, you know, three times a day. And so many people will be very surprised by this, because as pharmacists, that's one of the biggest questions we often get asked, you know, in retail pharmacy, help with constipation. So increasing fiber, you know, whether that be beans, oatmeal, fruits, vegetables, so helpful. Take a probiotic daily. That's extremely helpful too. Drink plenty of water just to keep things flushing through your body. And this will really help just to keep your gut moving, to just prevent, you know, those symptoms of autoimmune disease, like I'm just thinking like rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, things like that really can be exacerbated by an unhealthy gut. You get what we call leaky gut syndrome. So when the walls of the gut become very weak, then toxins can leak it out into the bloodstream, and then you get what's called leaky gut, and that can cause more symptoms of autoimmune disease. So things like that are just really helpful just for gut health.
So for someone that is just hearing this for the first time, what would you advise the person to start with just to be able to achieve a healthy gut? What would you advise?
Like two just easy things: eat more fruits and vegetables, and then take a probiotic daily. So, you know, there's a lot of different probiotics. I mean, some people say they should be refrigerated, some shouldn't. The one I take is not refrigerated. I find it's very effective for me, but those would be the two simplest steps: more fruits and vegetables, and also take a probiotic.
So would you recommend the probiotics in pills or the one in yogurt? Because I know probiotics is also yogurt.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because I get this question often, and because a lot of the women that I originally started here talking to have a painful bladder syndrome, so we can't have fermented foods. So I often don't talk about fermented foods, but yes, that is really just fantastic. Yogurt or kefir, sauerkraut, a lot of people have kimchi, that type of thing, kombucha. Really wonderful just to naturally put that into your diet for helping gut health.
Okay. Interesting. I'm sure the listeners are actually learning more about the gut, because it's such an important component in achieving health.
Yeah.
Right? So in your words, what would you say like the steps we can take to maximizing health? Like you've said a lot of things. So what steps would you recommend for people that are just joining in, for people that are listening to us? How can we maximize our health?
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, one of the things that I really have been really tuned into lately is just listening to my body. So I just think someone should listen to their body. I think your body will kind of tell you what your first step may be. You know, if you're feeling extremely fatigued, and you don't have any energy in the afternoon, and you know that you're craving a lot of sweets, looking at that sugar reduction may be a first step for you. If you have, you know, that gut where your stomach's always turning or bloated, that was another thing I was going to mention. Some people are very sensitive to gluten and dairy, so take a look at that. Those are things that you may want to eliminate. So maybe the gut health would be one thing. But it can be extremely overwhelming. And even when I first started, I didn't do all this all at once. My first step was actually reducing toxins in my skincare and makeup. So that was really important to me because of my mom and my sister having the breast cancer diagnosis. So I didn't want extra toxins being absorbed through my skin, which is the largest organ. And from there, I went to what I was eating. And from there, I went to not eating after dinner and reducing the sugar. So I took it, I mean, this was over a series of, you know, even several years. So I don't want people to feel overwhelmed that they have to do all of this at one time. But really just listen to your body. What is your body telling you? What do you think the first step should be? You know, if you are just sitting on the couch at night, then maybe take a walk after dinner. Maybe it's getting in more movement every day. That would be your first step. So really just listen to your body and kind of go from there.
Interesting. So in listening to our body, what do you mean listening to our body? Let's break it down to the tiniest bit. What do you mean listening to our body?
I think, you know, your body, you'll have different symptoms. And I think, you know, so many people, I've heard this story over and over again at the pharmacy, where someone will say, you know, I had, you know, gut issues for years. And then, you know, next thing they know, you know, maybe they'll be diagnosed with Crohn's disease. It was something that they put off for years and then they just didn't want to listen. So what is your body telling you? You know, or do you have a stomach where you're bloated and you don't feel well? I mean, are you really tired more so than the average person and you know that you're sleeping enough? Is that something that needs to be addressed? Maybe you're not getting the right types of nutrients into your body. You might need to reduce sugar. Just really, like, they always say their body will whisper to you before it screams. So what are these little things that your body is telling you before you get that big diagnosis of what could possibly be wrong? What can you do to stop in the tracks of what your body is telling you right from the beginning?
Amazing. I really love what you said, that listening to your body, the body will whisper before it screams. Yes. That's so amazing.
Yes.
Because I think for most of us, we get so busy with work and everything, and we forget to actually listen to our own body, because our body is always speaking.
Yes.
Like, it's always speaking. Different symptoms, that headache there, that the blurry vision there, the palpitation there. It's always speaking. So I think for everyone, we need to actually sit down and just pay attention to our body, pay more attention to our body, right? I know you're really big on women's health, and I've seen a lot of women here on this live. So I know you talk a lot about bladder pain and everything. Can you just throw more light on that?
You know, I myself was diagnosed with interstitial cystitis, which is painful bladder syndrome, years ago. Thankfully, through diet and the grace of God, I'm feeling so much better. I have had numerous questions through the years on urinary tract infections and overactive bladder. But just for women to know, especially women who are in midlife and are starting to experience overactive bladder, food can really play a huge part. Diet is one of the very first steps in controlling overactive bladder. Things like spicy foods, spicy peppers and things like that. Sugary drinks can really, and sugary foods can exacerbate overactive bladder. Acidic foods like tomatoes, orange juice, things like that can really cause excess urination. Same thing with caffeine and alcohol. So just really briefly, overactive bladder would be having 8 or more trips to the bathroom for urination per day, or 2 or more per night. So those are just some of the things to look for with overactive bladder. The very first steps would be for changing the diet, and then also pelvic focused exercises. So things like Kegel exercises, yoga, and there's a lot of different courses. So you don't want to necessarily just do Kegel. Some women may have a tight pelvic floor to begin with, but those are the very first steps. So I know a lot of women will ask me, you know, is there something I can take? But really looking at that diet, and I know for myself it works, because I've controlled my bladder issues with diet for, it's been almost 30 years now. So really it is very, very helpful.
Wow. What actually stood out for me, spicy foods, because
yes.
In this part of the world, a lot of people love to eat spicy food, especially we Africans and everything, we love spicy food. So you say spicy food can contribute to an overactive bladder, is that what you said?
Yeah, you know, it causes irritation on the bladder lining. So yes, for sure. Here in the U.S., we do have some products that can help with acidic foods. It's calcium glycerophosphate. It comes by the name of Preleaf over the counter for somebody who wants to maybe have that cup of coffee or tomato sauce, orange juice, that type of thing. But it really can be helpful to just the diet is the first aspect that I would say for helping with overactive bladder.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I think that's so helpful. I think another thing I would like us to discuss is you keep, I know for ladies, you're very particular about women's health. And is there any other thing you would like to advise ladies, especially younger ladies, regarding their health? Is there any particular thing you would like to mention or like to talk about?
Yeah, just, you know, what I originally went back to, the, you know, the skincare and the makeup. So, yeah, because I know I see so many ladies even posting things about, you know, eating healthy and working out and that type of thing. But I'll see them posting, you know, main store, you know, drugstore products. And now there's just so many more products available that have less toxins. So things like parabens, phthalates, fragrance. Fragrance is a big thing for me. It really is sometimes upsetting to me because a lot of times you'll look at a product and it looks like it has all organic ingredients or natural ingredients to it. And then it will have fragrance. And fragrance can be, all these things can be hormone disruptors. So that would be one of the biggest things that I would tell women, especially younger women. You know, the first step for disease prevention, just reducing toxins, because sometimes you can't always eat the way that you want to eat, or you may be really busy at work and not be able to work out, but you can always control what you put on your skin. So for me, that would be the biggest thing that I would share.
Amazing skincare.
Yes. And ladies usually love skincare.
Yeah.
I really feel truly, this is something I'm very passionate about, that you can't fully be living a healthy lifestyle unless you're also considering what you put on your skin, because your skin is your largest organ. It, you know, as a pharmacist, you know, too, we prescribe patches, and, you know, some of these patches are super tiny. And they will systemically go throughout your entire body.
Right.
So it's very important.
Yeah. I think we need to pay attention to what we put on our skin. So all the sunscreen, everything, we just need to be very, very particular about the ingredients of what the skincare products are about.
Yes.
It's very important.
Yes.
So is there any other thing you would like to add, any regarding? I think we can conclude by you just going over everything for some, because some people just joined in, because I'm sure they missed some things. So you can just go over the major points that you would like people to take away from this Instagram live.
Yeah, so as we shared in the beginning, really health is just all about making tiny changes that lead to big results and better health, and giving yourself that confidence to achieve your goals and dreams, prevent disease, to live the life that you want. And really, the three biggest things for me are reducing sugar, which we talked about, reading labels, the American Heart Association recommendation of 25 grams for women, 37.5 grams per day for men. I really like the benefits of a 12-hour fast. I know a lot of people talk about, you know, time restricted eating, 16
hours
of fasting.
One second. Mm-hmm. I know, Wes, can you just talk a bit about intermittent fasting? I know 12 hours, just talk a bit about it, because I know it's such an important thing that a lot of people gloss over.
Yes.
But it's so important, especially in maintaining a healthy lifestyle. So just throw more light on it.
Yes. It's something else that I learned along the way. And really, there are just so many benefits even to a 12-hour fast. So you don't necessarily have to do the 16-8, although that is the most common, what most people will talk about for time-restricted eating. So, you know, even if you were to stop eating after dinner, you know, let's say you eat at 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, and then don't eat again till the next morning, studies show that there will be reduced inflammation markers in the body, and really, you know, all disease stems from some sort of inflammation in the body. It can help with inflammation. It can help balance blood sugar, balance blood pressure, help with metabolism, help with a healthy weight, help with cognition. So that is really so important. And that's why I stopped eating after dinner, because your brain really needs a chance to rest while it's sleeping. So to get into a fasted state after you eat really takes about 3 to 4 hours. So if you stop eating about 3 to 4 hours before dinner, before bedtime, then you will have to, that 3 or 4 hours to get into the fasted state. And then when you sleep, then your body is ready for that cellular turnover, cellular rejuvenation, healing that comes through fasting. So so that's why I really recommend even just not eating after dinner.
Well, I think you just answered the question of someone. Someone just posted intermittent fasting. I know it's cool, but I don't really know much about it. So I think Pharmacist Lisa just answered the question. It's so important that for the body to rejuvenate after a long while with intermittent fasting. You can go ahead because I know I stopped you with the intermittent fasting.
That's okay. That's what I was going to say. Really just, I know a lot of people, it's hard for them, but I think if you just started with not eating after dinner, and a lot of people will tell me, I just get too hungry later on in the night. So what I recommend is, you can have an herbal tea or water, but also a healthy type of snack right after dinner. So I find that if I eat something like the blueberries and coconut whipped cream with a little, granola on top, or a little bit of a nut butter with some berries or something like that, something right after dinner, even though I might be feeling a little bit full, that really helps me to not want to eat later on in the evening. So that's one of my little tricks of not eating later on.
Okay. So in a nutshell, intermittent fasting is the way to go. Yeah.
Yes. There are very many health benefits. So it's not really a trend or a fad. It's something that really can help with health.
Okay. Someone is asking a question. Should intermittent fasting be every day for beginners or few days until the body gets used to it?
Well, you can just do it as until you get used to it. So, maybe if you're not even able to do the 12-hour fast, just start with, maybe not eating an hour or two before dinner, and then, go till the next morning. And then each day, try to increase your fasting period by like 15 to 30 minutes, every few days. And then eventually your body will just look for the food. But yeah, you don't want to, it would be very hard for somebody to maybe just jump right into the 16 hours or even longer fasts. Just take it, just add on just a little bit at a time to what you're already doing.
Thank you for that. So just to go over what you've said, listening to your body is so important. The body always whispers before it screams. Then reducing sugar, always read labels, eat more fruits, probiotics are important. So someone is asking, what about people who have history of ulcer? How would you advise they go about intermittent fasting?
I would do it the same way. It can really help heal the gut because you're giving your gut that time to rest. But, don't jump into it all the way. Take it a little bit at a time, increase your fasting window, 15 to 30 minutes a day, give it, several days at a time till your body gets used to that. Of course, if you have issues with blood sugar, or low blood sugar, if, you're elderly, or if you have a very low BMI, something like that, it may not be right for you. So check with the doctor, of course, before you start any fasting program.
Thank you for that. Thank you so much, Pharmacist Lisa. You've been such a huge blessing, just enlightening us on how we can maximize our health. And I think for a lot of us, the takeaways, we have different takeaways, but for me personally, just reducing sugar and reading more labels, right? Although I do that, but I need to be more intentional about doing that. And also just sometimes, doing the shifts as pharmacists could be really, really stressful, like 12-hour shifts. So sometimes you might need to like walk more and just take a break, right? Not exerting so much.
We didn't even talk about that. That's another whole topic. Rest, relaxation to help with health too. That could go be another whole topic as well.
Yeah, burnout is real, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. But thank you so much once again for sharing sharing, and we're looking forward to having more sessions in which you just enlighten us on different topics. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone that has joined in. Thank you so much. And we're looking forward to having more sessions and receiving more of you. Right. Thank you so much.
I appreciate once again. You having me here. Now my person's here because my dog just took off. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day.
Have a great day. Bye.